For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today.
So we have a new leader of the Green Party, the fourth only in the history of the party in Ireland. And Minister Roderick O'Gorman has been elected. Good evening, Minister, and congratulations to you on your victory.
Good evening, Matt. Thanks very much. Absolutely delighted to have achieved this role and very proud and humbled by the support the Green Party members have placed in me today.
You mentioned the Green Party members, and without wishing to put a dampener on it, there's this perception that the Green Party has gone out of favour with the electorate. But is the Green Party even going out of favour with its own membership, given that only about half of the eligible members voted in this contest between you and Pickahackett?
Well, we've had a 55% turnout, and we've had a really vigorous campaign over the last 2 weeks. We've had online hustings, in-person hustings, been going around meeting party members, doing big ring-arounds. So I think the very process of the leadership election has been really positive. It's given us an opportunity to discuss the opportunities and the challenges that exist for the party right now. Myself and Pippa have always had a really good relationship, and I think we've focused this campaign on issues rather than on personalities. But now that
given all of that, are you not disappointed that only 55% of the eligible voters bothered to do so?
Look, I think the turnout is fairly similar to what it was in the last leadership election in 2020. So, as I say, what we're aiming to do now, as the members have made a decision, it's about uniting the party. It's about delivering the final elements of the programme for government in the last months of this government and bringing us to the next general election as a united party with a very clear policy-focused manifesto setting out our plans for the next 5 years.
How worried are you by the forthcoming general election based on the results from the local elections and from the European Parliament election where you lost both of your seats?
No, I'm not worried about it at all. We had a difficult local and European election. We lost some really good councillors. But it's also important to remember we did really well in some areas. We topped the polls in a number of parts of the city as well. So it was a very mixed result. But we're very conscious that we did lose support in parts of the country. Parts of the country we gained support in 2019 and 2020. And it's my job as leader to win those votes back, to make sure that the Green Party message has resonance, finds traction in all parts of the country, in the city areas where we've always been strong, in our regional cities, in rural Ireland, in working class parts of the country. All of those areas, I want to grow our votes in all of those areas, because it's by growing votes, by getting TDs elected, that we'll be able to continue our track record of delivering policies in government.
Yeah, but how confident are you of being able to maintain your existing level in Dáil Éireann after the next general election?
Well, we are looking to hold our seats and we're looking to grow our seats, and we're going to have to make some changes within the party in order to do that. And one of my key jobs internally within the party is to get us ready for that general election. And that work starts today, meeting with our parliamentary party, engaging with our executive, engaging with our HQ team, and put us in a position where we have a really strong manifesto. But we also have the mechanisms to be able to support a really vigorous election campaign once it's called.
Now, how will you differ as a party leader to Eamon Ryan, given that he seems to have been something of a lightning rod for public dissatisfaction with the Greens, particularly in rural areas, something that your political opponents hammered on about?
Well, first of all, we have to recognise what Eamon has achieved over 13 years, bringing us from a time where we had no seats, no councillors, no money, to a position where we had our best election results ever, where we got into government. But I suppose the key difference maybe between myself and Eamon is that Eamon has always been focused on achieving those 2050 climate targets, making sure we can meet our Paris commitments. I'll continue that commitment to achieve those goals, but I also want to make it clear, I want to demonstrate to the public what that means this year and what it means next year and how we can support people in the challenges that they're facing in their daily lives. I think too often the public's perception of the party, and I'd argue it's an incorrect perception, but it is a perception that's out there, is that we're only focused on the long term, that we're not focused on the day to day. That isn't true, and I think I've demonstrated within my own department a very clear policy focus on improving people's lives, whether it's cutting the cost of childcare, whether it's bringing in new parents' leave so parents can spend more time with their newborn children in those early weeks and months, whether it's bringing in paid domestic violence leave for victims of domestic violence. These are all very tangible policies, green policies that benefit people in their daily lives, and I want the electorate to understand that that is as much a focus for the Green Party as meeting those major long-term climate targets.
But what about the perception that a lot of the things you want to do will actually impact negatively on people's standard of living, particularly if you take, for example, motoring, that you want to push people into more expensive electric cars, and even if you want to do that, you're not prepared to invest on the roads in which they would drive those cars?
Well, I think we have to demonstrate how the steps that we're taking are going to help people. And I point to the fact that we've cut the cost of public transport for everybody. We've cut the cost of public transport for under 25s by half. We've placed investment in our electric car charging infrastructure around the country. Step by step, we are taking those measures that will make it easier for people in terms of achieving climate reductions in their own lives. But I absolutely accept we need to do more. And in our general election manifesto, going into the next election campaign, we'll be setting out how we can do more to support people in their daily lives, meet the challenges of moving to a carbon neutral future.
Yeah, but just specifically in relation to the future of cars in Ireland, are you of the mind that you want to get people out of cars into using public transport, particularly in rural Ireland where public transport doesn't necessarily exist? And if you're encouraging people into electric cars, why are you not allowing the investment in roads that those cars would have to drive on?
Well, there's been very substantial investment in roads over the lifetime of this government, and we've been able to match that with very substantial investment in public transport as well. I think it is about providing people with the options. And we know in rural Ireland, particularly when it comes to public transport, those options are far more limited. And car travel will remain a central element of transport in rural Ireland. We absolutely recognise that. But we also have to recognise we have taken major steps, particularly in terms of the very sustained investment in local link services. Services to 3.2 million journeys on local links last year, and that's been because Eamon Ryan placed a dedicated focus in terms of providing those greater range of public transport options for people living in rural Ireland. That same approach has to be taken within our towns, within our cities. Give people the option, make it affordable, make it safe, and make it reliable. And if we do that, we can make it we can support people make that challenge where it's possible.
Why are you keeping Eamon Ryan as a minister when he is stepping down to the next general election? Wouldn't politics suggest that you should put somebody else in there who could stand for election to the next Dáil as a sitting minister?
Because my key priority as party leader is delivery. And I know that Eamon can continue to deliver in that department. He knows it inside out. He knows the major pieces of legislation, the major policies, the major investments that are important in terms of public transport, in terms of energy and climate as well. So I'm keeping him there because I want him to deliver up to the very day that the general election is called.
Are you happy with the position that he's taken in relation to Dublin Airport, given that a lot of people believe that the cap of 32 million people passing through that airport each year, one that was actually put in place not necessarily for environmental reasons but because of road access to the airport, that maintaining that cap is damaging to the development of the Irish economy?
I think the central point that Eamon has been making, and indeed my Green Party colleagues around the country has been making, is that we have to support our regional airports as well. And we have to support further development in Shannon, in Knock, and to ensure that those airports can continue to grow and can continue to support more balanced regional development. You know, over the next number of weeks in Cabinet, we're going to be talking about the national planning framework. And I think it is so important that as a country, we recognise Dublin has massively, I suppose, exceeded its growth versus other parts of the country. And if we are going to make our regional cities an attractive location for investment, for commercial ventures, and indeed for people to move to and build their lives there, we have to put in place a greater degree of infrastructure. And part of that is that air connectivity as well.
But the airlines want to go to Dublin Airport. That's where they want to provide the services from.
But we know that plenty of people would travel from a closer airport if those services were put in place. So I think we have the opportunity now to engage with the airlines and ensure that we can continue to develop and to grow our regional airports and to deliver the capacity through those.
Okay, what's your relationship like with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael now in government? Because the perception is that at this stage they're starting to write off the Greens, they're going to do the things that they want to do in advance of the general election, and that you're very much the tail behind the dog.
Well, I don't think that is the perception. I think this is a government that has delivered well over the last 4 years, and I want it to continue to do so.
Do you want to go back into government again with Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil after the next election?
I'm not ruling anything in or anything out when it comes to the next election. What I've said is after the next election, I'd like to engage with left-wing, progressive left parties in terms of bringing together a platform, a set of policy goals that are agreed across those parties, and use that and use the strength of those combined parties within the Dáil in terms of TD numbers to actually go to other parties and set out, this is the platform we want to achieve in the next 5 years. If you want to be part of a government, these are the policy areas that you need to deliver on.
But hold on, sorry, that's an implicit rejection of the existing government, and it also suggested a degree of naivety in relation to being able to put together an alternative government with left-wing votes, given what we've seen from opinion poll findings, existing numbers, and what happened in the local and European elections.
Well, I disagree with you there, Matt. It comes from my experience negotiating the programme for government in 2020. We were able to deliver more of our policies because we had a significant number of TDs, we had 12 TDs. If you're going into another set of negotiations with a larger number of TDs, all signed up to a set series of policy goals, of policy outcomes, that gives you even greater strength and gives you the ability to engage with other political groupings in terms of achieving those. So I'm not speaking from naivety, I'm speaking from the experience that I gained in negotiating the last programme for government.
Well, Findy, you've been the minister with the direct responsibility for immigration. Things may have calmed down, it seems, in recent times in relation to public reaction as to the placing of various centres around the country. But when it comes to a general election, how fearful are you that that is going to become an issue upon which certain elements will pick to play?
I'm not fearful of it. I recognise it will be part of the discussion in the next general election. It's right that it forms part of that discussion. Migration has never really been a major issue in Irish political discourse before because we've never experienced significant levels of migration. We are now, and I think it's important we talk about it, but parties have to bring forward their policies on how they address it. And the reason, as you described a moment ago, things have settled down is because we did publish a comprehensive accommodation strategy at the end of March, and that's put us in a much better position to make offers of accommodation to those who previously weren't getting offers of accommodation, but it's also putting us on a pathway to move away from that over-reliance on state accommodation and build up a core of, move away from commercially provided accommodation and build a core of state-owned accommodation where we have much better control over costs and much better control over the location of the accommodation as well. So the changes we're seeing are our response to the new policies that we introduced earlier this year.
Minister Roger O'Gorman, new leader of the Green Party, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.